Directive that I shouldn't pay. I came here, asked them, they said, yes, we have to pay because they have not received any directives that I shouldn't pay.
So what would you say to government and the authorities since they've made this directive?
Well, I said to the government, what they said was good, but then what I've paid, they have to pay my money back to me.
We are live across the country as management of the hospital say they are yet to receive a formal notice to implement the policy.
As we said, because we also have to make accounts, auditors come here to work. Because we have to render accounts, we need to ensure that when we start, we have to document everything well. So once we get a directive to start from the Ministry of Health, we will go ahead and start.
The youth of Lambuse joined our agent and they resisted. The police commander was called in. He called for reinforcement from Nandom Police.
Five persons hospitalized following violent clash in Zabzugu in the northern region over voters' transfers disagreement. There is more on this. Plus, we'll take you to the Upper West region where it took the intervention of a joint security operation to avert another bloody clash in the Lambuse constituency.
They came, but still the youth stood their grounds. So at the end, the people were repelled and the bus had to leave.
We have details of this story shortly. As the MPP says, despite the isolated cases, the EC is doing a good job. And on in business.
In business, Ghana Shippers Authority engages Bank of Ghana over exchange rate volatilities at the port after persistent complaints by importers.
And in sports, Black Stars head coach Etuado is confident in his team's ability to secure all 3 points in the crucial World Cup qualifier against Mali, set to start in an hour.
And coming up on election headquarters tonight, the jostling between the National Democratic Congress and the New Patriotic Party over who promises the best ahead of the election 2024. Details, as the MPP says, John Dramani Mahama's 24-hour economy promise lacks specific policy direction.
They speak of a bogus 24-hour economy.
But he listed it.
I have told you, and I've said it severally here, that 24-hour economy is not a policy. It is an outcome. It's an end product. The NDC are trying to hoodwink the entire country, deceive us into voting for them, and come to do nothing.
But does the NDC really have an implementation plan?
If MPP in 2016 gave Ghana the benefit of seeing a policy document on free SHS, we will not have today leave to see double track.
You have a policy document on 24
hours. At least we have put something. And in fact, you alluded to the point that...
So that's what it is.
We are even putting a more comprehensive report.
Details coming up next year on Newsnight. Tonight, kidney patients accessing dialysis at Konfuanoche Tamale and Cape Coast Teaching Hospitals have been left frustrated as they are forced to pay out of pocket 4 days after Health Insurance Authority announced the free dialysis intervention. The directive was to cover the cost of dialysis treatment for people 18 years and below and those 60 and above. Speaking to Join News on Tuesday, the CEO of the NHRA, Dr. Abuajeda Costa, confirmed former correspondents had been dispatched to various hospitals, directing them not to charge the patients.
The fact is, he's actually right. Because the CEOs of those hospitals were part of the committee and the decision was actually taken, letters have actually gone out, but I was not expecting that, obviously, anyone will pay for it. But for those 18 and below and 60 and above who have paid for, we will make sure that their monies are refunded to them fully because it is free. We will continue to, today I was at Kolebu Teaching Hospital and I met with the medical director and the head of the renal unit. We made this clear. In fact, they appreciate it a lot. Like you said, Oliver Trace will always ask for more. So all they are saying is that they are appreciative, but they are asking for more. And they are also saying that they are prepared to help government in coming up or contributing to the sustainability of it. We are looking forward to working with all stakeholders to make sure that chronic diseases are funded and sustained.
And you're saying that anybody who has been charged
if you're under, if 18 and below and 60 and above, you'll refund.
Yes.
You'll refund.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And by the way, where should they go for the refund?
Oh, so it will still be, because we'll give it to the hospitals to give it back to them.
To
because
them.
We, yeah. So okay. we do it through the hospital. The good thing is we have the numbers. If we had, it's like we do have the data.
Yeah.
And the names are attached to the data. Okay. So we know them. So it wouldn't be difficult at all.
If somebody comes who isn't part of the list you have already?
That is what I said, that you see, then we will have to, obviously, I'm sure they will be part of the list, because if you see the way the list has been made, if you are on chronic dialysis, you know.
Yeah, but you know, between now and December, many
so
people...
So you are talking about new patients.
New patients.
That's what I'm saying. So
December,
we consider new patients.
New patients coming in.
So we've told them that if they have new patients, they should let us know, because obviously now we've budgeted based on the numbers we have.
Yes, but my question is that when a new patient walks in today, he still gets a free treatment, free dialysis treatment, if the person is 18 and below and 60 and above, correct?
How do you mean by new patients?
That's what I mean is that if today, God forbid,
yeah,
I discover that my doctor tells me I have this problem and I have to go there today. So I'm a new patient. I'm not part of the list before. I've just been diagnosed with a problem today. And I go to Konfanoche Teaching Hospital today and I want a dialysis treatment. And I'm in the bracket where I'm covered for free. Do I get the treatment for free?
I'm sure they will treat you for free and submit the list to us.
But is that the directive? Because that is important for those who are listening to us tonight.
So, okay. So let's get it clear. Mm. The doctors will not just put you on dialysis. You might have gone through some processes first before you are put on dialysis. So what I would say is that we have informed the medical directors that they should let us know the new patients.
So that was Dr. Abuajeda Costa, who is CEO of the NHIA. However, patients seeking these services at the Konfanoche Teaching Hospital say they are still being asked to make payment towards their treatment. My colleague Nana Buachi Yadom spoke to some patients at the hospital's renal unit. Take a listen.
Normally, what I have to pay, I have paid it, so I think it's okay.
So it isn't free for you?
Is that not free for me?
For how many times have you been here in the week?
I've been here, this is the second time I've been here, since the announcement was made.
And in your second time being here, you've made a payment yourself in a week?
I've made it myself, yes.
Well, what's your condition? Tell us.
My condition is, as you see, I'm on dialysis.
Is it severe?
Well, it's severe. I mean, if you are to come in, you will see. I'm making the payment because there was no, directive that I shouldn't pay. I came here, I asked them, they said, yes, we have to pay because they have not received any directives that I shouldn't pay.
So what would you say to government and the authorities since they've made this directive?
Well, I said to the government, what they said was good, but then what I've paid, they have to pay my money back to me.
Edding because some of the person has to come away, Ediaba, Enyeizi. Obi akra bo akra na afi wo ho afuno no because ya rewe ebi mo for say ya
it's difficult to get money to pay for the dialysis treatment
into
our helpers are even tired. We plead with the government and any time to help us just as they indicated.
Now ho aye no ahomte
to understand the ma ban ni NHI ni nyina yesen
ma de se de ma ban ni NHI is se o madum ye de se o mo.
But management of the hospital say they are ready to undertake the free dialysis treatment if granted a permit by the Ministry of Health with a notice from the NHIA. Dr. Yao Opare Labi is the deputy medical director of the hospital. Sorry for that. Now, let's take you around the country and gauge the mood or how this is going on in these regions. Nanaya Abuachi Yadom has been monitoring the situation from the Ashanti region, and he joins us now. Nana, grateful. What is the condition of some of these patients you spoke to?
Unit of the Konfanoche Teaching Hospital. So most of them that we interacted with are stranded. Well, they came in expecting to have some free renal services today. But then, unfortunately, the announcement they did receive from the management of the hospital and the nurses in charge is that they would have to make payment for their dialysis treatment. The initial payment at the Konfanoche Teaching Hospital per session is some 597 Ghana cedis, 50 pesos, and they would have to bear the cost. A man that we did speak to said that he has been there twice this week, and that has been Monday and today. And in both times, being at the hospital's renal unit, he has to make payment himself, contrary to the directive issued by the National Health Insurance Authority. And many of them have been sharing their frustration and their worry with the cost of dialysis treatment at the Komfortnuchi Teaching Hospital. And considering the number of times that they have to be at the renal unit to undergo this particular treatment.
And I must say, very sad narrations there. But you also spoke to the CEO on the sidelines. What was his response?
The CEO did indicate that he has had some interactions with the boss of the NHIA. He has given them the go-ahead, but then they are still expecting the official letter from the Ministry of Health and also the National Health Insurance Authority itself, which would be proceeded to the renal unit of the hospital for them to begin the free treatment for these patients who do come in.
We are ready. We are ready to roll out. What we are only waiting for is, because we work under the Ministry of Health, anytime we are going to take embark on any activity, we have to we need to receive directives from the Ministry of Health, because we work under the Ministry of Health. So before we commit our resources to this very important activity, we just need to receive, all we are waiting for is just to receive a directive that go ahead, start, and these are the modalities for operation and so on. No, we are going to start a service. We are going to use what we call consumables. The consumables are the things that we use, the liquid we use, the tubes and so on, which you finish and you have to discard. All those cost money. So we need to also recoup the money. And we know that the money is already been made available for the age brackets that have been described in the NHI CEO's his address when he mentioned the package. Yes, so we are ready, and all we are waiting is for the Ministry of Health we work under to just give us the green light to go ahead. And usually we want to also, they communicate with us through documents. So
let's head to the Central Region now and speak to our correspondent, Eric Asante. Eric, what is the situation at the Cape Coast Teaching Hospital?
So, Sammy, it was a look of anguish and despair of the patients who fall in the free dialysis category. They told me they were asked to pay for their dialysis session, contrary to the directives by National Health Insurance Authority. They told me the hospital authority said they were yet to receive directives from their bosses to implement the free dialysis for those who fall in the category, i.e. those who are above 60 years and above. They told me they anticipated that they may be asked to be paid for their services. So some say they anticipated they will be asked to be paid. So they prepared coming to the hospital. One of them who spoke to me was Dominic Mensah Gaba. Let's take a listen to him.
I went there Tuesday, but I was charged paying 491. I said that the government has said that we are not paying. They said no. The government have not told anything. So I was paid. I went there with the money, because then I was suspecting the government that they would tell me, the hospital people would tell me the government have not told them. So I made prepared for yeah. That it's not easy, but because of the sickness, I have to.
Well, Eric, what has management of the hospital been telling you?
So one of the managers of the hospital who spoke to me off record indicated to me that, well, they were ready to implement it if the green light was given to them by their bosses, but as he stood, and they were yet to receive an official communication from their bosses. They tell me they've also heard on radio, they heard the vice president say when he met the clergy in the central region. So they are looking forward to their bosses giving them the green light. Until then, dialysis patients may have to pay for their sessions.
Well, from the Cape Coast, let's cross over to the northern region where our correspondent Martina Bugri is standing by. Martina, what can you report from your end?
I guess the situation is same in the northern region at the Tamale Teaching Hospital. Patients who walk in for dialysis today would have to pay. And officials at the hospital tell me that they are yet to receive an official communication and the modalities they are supposed to use to implement the policy. And that hasn't come yet, but until it comes, they would have to charge people for dialysis. Now, they are saying that they have seen a release, but that is yet, they need to have an official letter indicating what to do. Then they can begin the operations.
Mm. And you've also been speaking to some of the patients. What have they been telling you?
Now, they are frustrated because people anticipated that it should begin and then they would have some relief. But it looks like they may have to start looking for resources again. If you had stopped looking for resources because it's coming on and it's going to be free, you would have to begin to source for funding again to continue until they begin the implementation. Then you can rest. And that's a bit frustrating.
All right, Martin, I'm grateful. Now, we have cited a correspondence between the NHIA and the hospitals, and my colleague James Averji is in studio with details of this correspondence. James, what does it say?
Yes, Bray. So this is a letter signed by the NHIA boss himself, dated May 30, and this is supposed to be sent to all the hospitals. Now, he starts by, telling the hospitals about the initiative and how important it is. And part of it says that, quote, management of the NHI reiterates that under this program, the patient shall not be charged for dialysis treatment per the benefit package stated above. Kindly note that should the patient be charged, the authority shall reimburse the patient after all necessary reconciliation have been concluded upon claims submission. And so it also attached, a claim form that all patients who have been charged in the hospitals needed to fill. And so it attached all of that to it. And so the hospitals are informed per this letter not to charge anybody. But if they had already charged someone, they can give the form to them to fill to come back for their money.
Okay, so it's important for us to reiterate that any patient who is paying today can still reclaim that payment when the form is made available.
Exactly. This letter has been sent, but as to whether the hospitals received it on this date or not, I'm sure is the reason for the challenges we are seeing.
All right, so that's it on the dialysis crisis. Away from that and to other stories now, let's do the election headquarters now. Now, 5 persons have been hospitalized following a violent clash in Zabzugu in the northern region over voters' transfer disagreement. The chaos erupted at a vote transfer center following a heated dispute over alleged illegal vote transfers. A viral video captured the intense scene showing a group of men engaging in a physical altercation, exchanging blows in a chaotic free-for-all fight. We can hear excerpts from the scene capturing the heated exchanges of the incident. Yes. So that was the scene in the Zabzugo area, but the situation was no different in the Lambusie constituency of the Upper West region, where it took the intervention of military men to foil a bloody clash. The NDC's parliamentary candidate for the area, Dr. Titus Biyo, claims his opponent attempted to register non-resident, triggering the chaos.
We got an indication from the Electoral Commission office. I had visited there earlier to monitor the process of the vote transfer, and then I left for some other engagement, and I was called by the agents of our party that a bus load of people had arrived, and from their interrogations, they were coming from the Sisala West constituency, a village called Numoro, and they were coming to register. They were being led by the NPP Deputy Constituency Secretary, who also happens to be the presiding member of the Lambusie District Assembly. So our people resisted it, and the youth of Lambusie joined our agent, and they resisted it. The police commander was called in. He called for reinforcement from Nandom Police Station. They came, but still the youth stood their grounds. So at the end, the people were repelled, and the bus had to leave. But in the course of all this impasse, the MP was called, and he came. Obviously, by the Deputy Constituent Secretary, he came with one of his aides to come and have a meeting with the EC. But the EC resolved that the people should leave with the bus, and then they left.
So that was what was happening in the Lambusie constituency there. We'll be keeping an eye on this particular developing story, and we'll be bringing you all the update from all the regions in the country for you to understand what exactly is happening. But let's go on the phone lines now and speak to Evans Nimakun, who is Director of Elections and Research for the governing NPP. Good evening to you. I'm grateful for joining us. First off, you've been following these exercises. We would want to find out from him what the party also has been finding out from this. But let's still stay on politics, but take you to the Ashanti region, where some residents in Kumasi have expressed mixed sentiment as speculations intensify on the possible selection of an Ashanti running mate for the New Patriotic Party's flag bearer, Dr. Mahmood Bawumia. While some individuals express excitement about the speculated choice, others are skeptical about the potential challenges that will come with such decisions. Nana Buachi Yadom has more in the following report.
There has been increasing expectation for an announcement of running mate for NPP flag bearer Dr. Mahmood Bawumia. The pressure comes particularly from the Ashanti region, asking for its representation on the presidential ticket. While many express excitement about the speculated consideration, others underscore the need for careful deliberation when choosing candidates.
Because it is already, we have the Akan faction, that conversation that says that the MPP is more of an Akan. To play very safe for the MPP, they have no other option than to pick a running mate from the Ashanti region.
According to political scientists at the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, Dr. Amachi Boateng, the decision is long overdue.
Whether I see a potential running mate from Ashanti region, I don't think twice about that. I don't blink my eyes to say that the running mate is coming from Ashanti region. You see, politics is essentially driven by interest.
Citing the current economic woes as a challenge for the MPP to break the eight, Dr. Amachi Boateng believes a well-represented Ashanti running mate is an important choice.
And so this disaffection in Ashanti region had to be addressed by the party. So the decision to pick, or the need for the party to pick the running mate from Ashanti region, is dependent on the current situation here.
For voters and experts, a running mate from the Ashanti region, the World Bank of the NPP, could potentially strengthen party cohesion and solidify the party base. But can the choice really come from the Ashanti region? The flag bearer would have to decide. For Joy News, my name is Nana Bwachi Dankwa Yado, Kumasi.
Well, let's return to the disturbances in Sapsugu and also in Lambusi. And I've been joined on the phone lines by Mustapha Gbande, who is Deputy General Secretary of the NDC, as well as Evans Nimakon, who is Director of Research and Elections for the governing New Patriotic Party. Let me start with you, Mustapha. You've been following this exercise. I mean, what have you been gathering all over the country?
Hello.
Hi, Mustapha. I'm trying to find out from you what your monitoring tells you of what's happening in relation to the voters transfer exercise that's been done by the EC.
Well, I think generally, you know, the same as we did the registration. And, you know, when we finished the registration, we accept that it was a relatively very peaceful exercise. But this is different, particularly when the police, who are supposed to be a buffer, at some places have now resorted to aiding illegal transfers. Because we have people that go to the before EC directors, and they are holding utility bills. When you ask them a simple question, they are not even able to mention the name on the utility bill to represent their residence. And so, under the circumstances, some of these things could have been interrogated. If you look at what is happening in Wulensi today, the police and the military are giving way for illegal transfer. Zabzugu Tatali, Zabzugu, a similar thing is going on like that. And several other pockets of the places where the police, who are supposed to be helping arrest illegal applicants for transfer, are rather now aiding this illegality broadly in favor of the MPP. And places where they attack our people, we are being told to be calm. In other places, some of our people are being arrested and remanded forcefully.
But the EC was specific in its directions to you that, well, we will allow party agents to be there, but there's a process that you have to follow. If you have a challenge, if you don't and you cause mayhem, you will be taken out. Is it that your agent are following due process and are still being tormented, as you say?
Our agents are following due process. And of course, the law does not forbid you that if you see somebody about to commit a crime, because there's a process to deal with a crime, you should stand aloof. It's a duty bound on any citizen. If you see someone who does not qualify to transfer his vote, and you can reasonably suspect that that person do not qualify, you are duty-bound to stop that crime from being committed. You cannot say that because there will be exhibition, let me wait for exhibition period,
I'll go and challenge the person. Bande, but that is why the EC says there is a process which through which you have to raise some of these issues. You cannot also say because you want to prevent a crime, you do it anyhow. So isn't it fair that you play according to the EC's processes, that just report it, we'll deal with it, and we all have the time to go through that?
Exactly. It must start from having to alarm that somebody is about to register who doesn't qualify. Then the police would then come in. The EC officers would have to come in at that stage. Or otherwise, those that we have not been able to send, which we would intend to challenge through exhibition process, you do so. That is what exactly the NDC intends, and that is what exactly we are doing.
Okay.
I don't see why, in the matters of transfers, which is supposed to be an individual matter, you have people being bussed. Today, people from Cocobots, Kentampo or whatever the place, the lady there works with the chief of staff. She's bussing Cocobot people to her constituency. STC, they are bussing people all over the place.
We have evidence to prove
of
that.
Of course. We do have evidence to this one. Mm. You know,
I'm grateful to you, but
institutions where MPP
I'm grateful you've made your point. Well, you've made your point, Mustapha. Let me bring in Evans Nemakon, who's also been monitoring the process. Evans, what has your own monitoring, you know, been telling you about the process so far?
Thank you very much for having me. And I want to find out from Mustapha. Mustapha, assuming you are agent at a transfer center, how are you going to challenge somebody who has sworn an oath, a declaration, before a commissioner of oath, and is to satisfy the EC returning officer from not to effect his or her transfer. Is there anywhere in the CI 127 that you can depend to object to such a transfer? I want to find out from Mustafa.
The criminals who are caught in law court using impersonation of law certificate, don't they swear an oath in court before they are caught?
So Mustafa,
are we deprived of the responsibility to stop people from committing a crime? The people that were arrested in...
Okay, so hold, Mustafa, you've answered the question. Let him come. Yeah, everyone's well listening.
Yes, the circumstance we find ourselves is different. Unfortunately, the CI says that the person who seeks to transfer his or her vote must satisfy the returning officer at the district. And as political parties, we should be given the list of the transfer. And then we can raise concerns when the EC does the exhibition. I don't think we have to break bones for us to appreciate what the CI depicts. And I think the NDC is creating unnecessary tension within the scenario we are all playing in. I mean, I still cannot find myself to appreciate the concerns of the NDC. And at all times, so my brother, we have 268 district officers. Is it only Zabzugu that the NDC has concerns? They don't have any problem in K2 North. They don't have any problem in Asawasi. They don't have any problem in Ayawaso West Wogon, where their own parliamentary candidate is asking the EC to bring their transfer kit to the university campus to enable people who are registered but in view of their mid-semester exam are unable to travel to the district office to effect their transfer. I think we have to be fair to this system. And under the circumstance, it's not the hue and cry from the NDC. But we must all be fair and appreciate what we have and deal with it as such. It's not the unnecessary tension we seek to raise and we don't have basis. Agent, what do you have to do? But I can assure you, my brother, the election come December 7, 2024, His Excellency Dr. Mahamud Bawumia will beat Mr. John Dramani Mahama. That's the end of the story.
To you, gentlemen, Evans Nimako and Mustafa Gbande. But this is still Newsnight on Joy 99.7 FM. We're also live across many of our affiliates across the country. In business
this evening, Ghana Shipyards Authority engages the Bank of Ghana over exchange rate volatilities at the port after persistent complaints by importers, and Ecobank Group optimistic of returning to dividend payment possibly from next year after brief suspension. Business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, Syntex Tanks, and Pepsodent Chagwan Herbal. Welcome back to Business on Newsnight with me, James Ishan. Let's settle for the details. First off, the Ghana Shipyards Authority has stated that it is engaging the Bank of Ghana to fix a workable exchange rate regime for importers at the port. The assurance comes years of complaints from importers due to the exchange rate volatility. Speaking to the media after a breakfast meeting for top shippers in the Southern Zone, Head Business Development and Commercial Services at the Authority, Fred Isiodidati, said they are hopeful the meeting with the Bank of Ghana will be fruitful.
All right, so the industry has a challenge with the arbitrary application of exchange rates. This matter has been with us for quite a bit, and we have engaged at the highest level the Bank of Ghana on it to give direction in terms of how to address it. They have provided some guidelines, and we are following through. In fact, we have done some extensive work, but we are yet to engage with the Bank of Ghana, and we believe that that process will lead to a definitive, you know, pronouncement or directive that will lead us all out of this quagmire.
Fred Esirudate, Head Business Development and Commercial Services at the Ghana Shippers Authority. To some banking stories now. Ecobank Group has assured that it could return to paying dividend next year. The bank suspended payment of dividend for last year despite posting a record revenue in 2023. The bank says it intends to recapitalize its subsidiaries. Jeremy Awari is Group Chief Executive of Ecobank and has been speaking to Joy Business in Lomé, Togo after the annual general meeting today.
The realities of operating a business across markets, we saw a number of things right through from COVID into last year. Some of the regulators insisted that we retain profits, and the way that we pay profits for our shareholders is upstreaming those profits. So we take the dividend from an affiliate in a country and then we pass that to ETI, and those dividends that we get from countries are what we pay out to our shareholders. So a number of countries were conservative because they weren't sure about the macroeconomic environment and they wanted us to retain that capital. So the board deliberated, it looked at the facts, and we made the difficult decision to say that we will keep, we will not pay dividends on this particular occasion, but we are working towards resuming dividends as soon as possible.
Jeremy Awari is Group Chief Executive of Ecobank Group, speaking to Joy Business in Lomé, Togo. Now to some other stories. The Economic Intelligence Unit has raised its global real GDP growth forecast for 2024 to 2.5%, up from the previous 2.4%, indicating that growth will remain stable despite high interest rates and geopolitical risk. There is more in the following report.
The Economic Intelligence Unit has updated its forecast for global real GDP growth in 2024 to 2.5%, slightly up from the previous estimate of 2.4%. This indicates that growth will remain stable rather than slow down from 2023, reflecting the surprising resilience of the global economy amidst high interest rates and ongoing geopolitical risks. One of the key drivers behind this upward revision is the improved growth outlook for the United States, now projected to expand by 2.2% in 2024, up from an earlier forecast of 2%. The EIU also anticipates that the US dollar will continue to appreciate for a third consecutive year in 2024, countering early expectations of a mild depreciation. This adjustment is largely due to a stronger than expected depreciation in the yen and a revised outlook that no longer includes an appreciation of the euro.
That was a business desk report. Now, Goil PLC at its annual general meeting has kept its dividend to shareholders at 0.056 pesos per share for the 2023 financial year versus will amount to 22 million cedis. The company recorded a dip in profit after tax of 54.7 million cedis, which represents 55% for board chairman of the company. Reginald Daniel Lai explained that the adoption of sound financial operating and marketing strategies enabled the company to post the result.
The modest current earnings per share EPS of 0.14 Ghana cedis showcase our resilience and ability to generate returns for shareholders even in extremely difficult times. I would like to take this opportunity to express my profound appreciation for your steadfast support and confidence in your company. Your shareholding is highly valued and cherished. Therefore, despite the challenges we face, the board has made the decision to maintain and recommend a dividend payment of 0.56 per share, reflecting our commitment to shareholder value and our optimism for the future of your company.
Reginald Daniel Lai is the board chairman of Goil PLC. And that's all for business on Newsnight with me, James Ishan. Also, this evening, catch some exciting discussion on PM Express Business Edition on the Joy News channel at 9 p.m. as George Uriafi engages the National Pensions Regulatory Authority's Chief Executive Officer, John Quaining-Imbro, on protection of pension funds. Over to you, Kuju.
Thank you very much, James, for that. Now, coming up next here to S Sports with Razak Uzbal.
Yeah, Kujubre as well. It's just 15 minutes away from that crucial World Cup qualifier game between Mali and Ghana. The starting lineup is already out for Ghana, and Jordan Ayew has been dropped to the bench. The Black Stars will have Lawrence Atizegi in post and defense. We'll have Ali Dusadu, Tariq Lamptey, Alexander Jiku, Mohamed Salisu, Gideon Mensah. Then in midfield, Enes Nyama, Thomas Partey, Mohamed Kudus, and Abdul Salis Samed will be in midfield, and Antoine Semenyo will lead the team in attack. Well, the likes of Frederick Asari is on bench. Likewise for Tawi Saku, Jordan Ayew, Ebenezer Anan, Ibrahim Suleiman, Osman Bukhari, Kamaldin Suleiman are all on the bench. Well, head coach of the side, Otuado, has been feeling optimistic about his team's ability to be able to defeat the Malians later in 50 minutes from now.
It's a very important match today for us. We have to win. This will be the best to guarantee our chances to qualify for the World Cup. And Papua is going to be very, very tough. Mali has a very, very strong team. They showed recently in their games against Nigeria or Cote d'Ivoire how really good they are. They have a lot of young talents in their team. And in the FIFA World Cup list, they are above us. So Mali is a great team. It's very, very difficult for us to beat them, but we have to try. They're 1 point above us, and we have a good team as well. The FIFA World Cup list, they're above us, so this shows how good and competitive they are. They showed in the last game against Nigeria how good they are.
Well, that's head coach Otuado. But considering the team's recent form, where they've been winless in the last 7 games, former captain of the side, Asamoah Gyan, is unsure about the team's chances tonight.
A team, you are not in the squad. You see individual players doing well in their clubs, great players. When they come together, that is where you cannot predict. I can say, you're best sure because I support Ghana. But I don't know the caliber of the team, how they are going to perform. Honestly speaking, our performances recently, wishy-washy. We all have to hope for the best. How they're going to approach the game in Mali, because we all want Ghana to qualify. People want to see their families in America. I'm very confident about this team, but I don't know how they're going to approach the game, though.
That's former captain Asamoah Gyan there. Well, Braze, the game is going to be live on the national TV station. It's at 7 p.m. We'll see how the Black Stars fare. After this, they have the next game in Kumasi against Central African Republic on June 10.
I'll really be eager to watch how this game progresses. Let's see. Let's catch up there. But some residents in Kumasi have expressed mixed sentiment as speculations intensify on the possible selection of an Ashanti running mate for the new Patriotic Party's flag bearer, Dr. Mahmood Bawumia. Now, let's still stay on the MPP, because the opposition NDC says no matter how Dr. Mahmood Bawumia is repackaged and branded, he cannot pull himself from the failure by the MPP government to address the current economic challenges. Listen to Eduji Tamaklos, director of legal of the NDC, make this point on PM Express.
The Ghana presidential ticket is not one person ticket. And that is why, God forbid, when a
Communications director of the MPP campaign team, Miracles Abuaji, defends the track record of Dr. Mahmood Bawumia and questions the competence of NDC flag bearer John Mahama in improving the economy if elected. Now, this has been a debate that has been happening. And on PM Express, Dennis Miracles Abuaji made a point that John Mahama stands no chance against Dr. Mahmood Bawumia.
Dr. Mahmood Bawumia is a member of cabinet, he's not president. Dr. Mahmood Bawumia did not pass e-levy. E-levy was passed by the Parliament of Ghana, proposed by the cabinet of Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo, of which Dr. Mahmood Bawumia is a member of. The EMT doesn't take bills to Parliament for passage. He's a lawyer, he knows it. And so if you sit here and you make this conversation, you trivialize the issues. And I can ask simple questions. All the things that former President Mahama did not do, some of which he threw away, cancelled. Now he says he wants to be president. Is he going to cancel them? Is he going to cancel nursing and teachers' allowance? Is he going to cancel free senior high school, which he spoke against? A lot of his officers spoke against. Is he going to do that, or he has had a change of mind? So that level of contradiction and pick and choose is what makes it very, very difficult for us to engage the NDC on the future of this country. There's a direct choice to be made between the former president, who was vice president, became former president, and became president, and the vice president that has never been president. And so if you're going to recount what you think a vice president who is part of a government has done and for which reason he shouldn't be president, then you have no business here advocating for a former president who put this whole country on its knees and on the ground.
Dennis Miracles Abuaje is Director of Communication for the Bawumia 2024 campaign team. Now, NDC flag bearer John Mahama has, promised to introduce a pension scheme for commercial drivers in the private sector if he wins the December polls. The former president, who was interacting with members of the Ghana Private Road Transport Union, GPRTU, assured of a broader consultation with stakeholders on ways to cushion the lives of commercial drivers through the introduction of a pension scheme.
The way omo si alo do a omo de nyoma ko ni na se ya kwan en so yen ji tools nti omo famu sa na omo ko en so de tra border na hwe wo ko e hani he ya obetu ato nti toll ne de o si esamba en so o si ye toll.
We will collaborate with new plan to assemble buses in Ghana, which will then be given to you on credit and pay back in installments. It will be priced in cities to ensure it's affordable for all. We will also introduce a pension scheme for commercial drivers, which will ensure they receive a monthly income after retirement.
Electronic gates. Delay auto chip now castle.
The former president also pledged to reintroduce the collection of road tolls on major highways across the country. The toll collection, according to him, will be expected to generate revenue to fund the construction and repair of roads in the country.
In the buses, no, young can say it to me, assemble buses, especially large, heavy buses. No, in the new plan for the Kasa, na yenya assembly plant, now you see it to me, I assemble buses, no? And sell the buses in cities. And yet, dollarization, the enemy. Sell it in cities so that neighbor will be from Kakra, near to me.
We will collaborate with new plan to assemble buses in Ghana, which will then be given to you on credit and pay back in installments. It will be priced in cities to ensure it's affordable for all. We will also introduce a pension scheme for commercial drivers, which will ensure they receive a monthly income after retirement.
Also, the parts number Hanaya and Kasa, yeah, assembler, a beman the Boaba from Kakra, and we have a pension scheme for drivers. I'm saying, Samria and this are my baby room, a stream we are by Yanomon Transi, then structure a good pension scheme. Send a bear driver or one Honda or ye Juma or Nyeska Kakra near the Toho, near the Toho, near the Toho. A bedroom mre or bayemre, I just say, all call retirement, not aja, or no saying a baby Kakra.
Let's take you to Kumasi now for today's filth exhibition. Now, after months of being driven away by the stench of drains choked with filth at the Abuabo lorry station, traders and drivers heaved a sigh of relief as Joy News filth exhibition got to the KMA to start a major cleaning up of drains in the area. Joy News, in its recent filth exhibition series, uncovered the drain filled with heavy waste, posing a health risk from its unpleasant stench. Clinton Yeboah provides a special report on the recent cleanup efforts by KMA.
The Joy News team highlighted this situation in its flagship series, Filth Exhibition. Now traders, drivers and residents beam with joy as the reportage yields results. Officials of the KMA have begun a week-long cleanup in some selected areas, including the Abuabo lorry station main drain. A garbage container now occupies the spot to contain trash. Traders, drivers and residents hope the new development will improve sanitary conditions in the area. Kumasi Metropolitan Assembly Chief Executive Samuel Pine, in a recent interview with Joy News, disclosed the Assembly lost over 30,000 cedis to the clearing of waste from drains in the WAEC area in Akwetia Line. According to KMA Environmental Director Yao Ofori, these areas, along with other major areas in Adum, will be cleared in a week. He indicated the reportage and intensity of the situation fast-tracked the Assembly's response.
Now, we had a report that your outfit took a picture of what actually happened at the Abuabu. Basically, it's not expected for you to even call us before we do that. We'll be doing it. And then when the picture was showing around the television and other areas, we just moved quickly to start doing the work. We are still on it.
Meanwhile, the Greater Accra Regional Minister Daniel Titus Glover says the insanitary conditions in the capital is unacceptable. He was speaking at a ceremony to outdoor former MP for Bon Katamanso Ni Laya Fote as chief of Katamanso.
We all know for some time a lot of people travel far and near and they've made Accra so filthy. Ghanaians, we are very neat people. But because a lot of people have been traveling into the region and product matter, the Accra proper, they have created a lot of filth. This is creating a lot of inconveniences and sicknesses. We believe that we want to join forces with all the traditional councils in the region. Last week, Friday, we paid a courtesy call on Niga and his council to partner us. From there, we'll be coming all the assemblies where there are traditional authorities so they can partner us so that together we can be able to clear this field from our region.
Great Accra Regional Minister Daniel Ni Kwete Titus Glover there. Now, let's do more stories here. Many communities continue to be in the dark nearly 24 hours after fire gutted more than 100 stores in a makeshift community at Ekumog, which affected some major power distribution lines and critical equipment, causing outages. The fire, which started last Wednesday afternoon, affected some of the distribution lines of Gridco, forcing the system to shut down. According to the acting director of operations of ECG, Engineer Ebenezer Gani, the fire traveled to the transmission lines from Gridco to truncate transmission of power to the affected areas. He's been speaking at a training workshop for selected journalists in Accra.
Last night we had a challenge somewhere in the Odona area at Seko. What happened? There's a slum area there and there was a fire outbreak. What happened was the fire, and this has happened before and I've seen it with my eyes for years back. The fire was able to get up to the transmission line, and there's a Greco line, serving a bulk supply point. Get up there, heat it up, and cut it. Now, something like that, there's no way you can inform customers that there's going to be a fire in the slum area. That fire is going to be able to reach up there. That's what happened yesterday. So some areas went off, and some are still off, but the work is ongoing to restore supply to the bulk supply.
Well, engineers from Gridco have been on the ground since morning assessing and trying some repair works. Manager of Corporate Communications for the Ghana Grid Company Limited, Gridco, Jifa Bampo, spoke to Joy News a while ago.
So mainly our towers have also suffered some burn. Later on, they will be retreated and restored. And then we also have some conductors that have been affected. They will also be replaced. And the insulators to be looked at, if they are still in good condition, we'll leave them. So essentially that work has begun. I'm sure you see some of the engineers have come with additional equipment. So it will continue like this for the rest of the day and for as long as it will take. But I don't project it will be too long. We are told that they will quickly do this work. So this particular transmission line, it terminates at Accra Central bulk supply point. So what we've done is we've been working and have got some additional load coming from Malam substation so that others can be served. But as to which individual area, that doesn't sit with Gridco, because Gridco is a bulk supplier. We only supply to ECG, and then ECG determines who gets the power and how. But we know that because this line is out of service, there's been a reduction in the power that ECG will get to serve everyone. So I can't give you the particular areas, but by close of day today, everyone should be restored.
So that is the communications, corporate communications manager for the Ghana Grid Company Limited, Jifa Bampo there. Let's do a bit of some of the messages you've brought us here. This one says, please, if the running mate to be named by the MPP flag bearer is indeed Dr. Matthew Opoku Prempeh, then Ghanaians will always be reminded by his personal relationship, and he cannot bring anything positive on board. JM is still the best choice to rescue Ghana from corrupt and state capture democracy. Hashtag joy of News Elder from Sunyai brought this one in here. This one says, I don't understand why MPP are doing wrong things just to win the election. If you did what is better from you as government, why trying foul means to stay in power? We in the NDC have put in place robust measures to safeguard the integrity of the electoral
process there. This is from Musa Abatua there. Well, thanks for listening. There's more news on myjoyonline.com. My name is Samuel Kojo. Breeze up next year is a big conversation with a big, big personality. Today on Personality Profile, we are speaking with His Royal Majesty King Taki Teiko Churu II. He is Gam Manche, and he'll be sitting down with the man Lexis Bill here on Joy 99.7. Good evening.
Joy 99.7 FM.
Astronauts, be champions, be truth seekers. Be students, be teachers. Be politicians, be preachers. Yeah. Be believers, be leaders. Be astronauts, be champions.
Personality profile here on Joy 99.7 FM and of course on the Joy Prime channel. I'm Louis Kwame Sechama. You can call me Lexus Bale. And as always, I look forward to these conversations because we get to celebrate people who are doing amazing things here for the motherland. And today I have one very amazing conversation for you, one that you would love to listen to. So I don't know what you're doing right now, but I'd rather you take a seat, grab a drink, turn up the volume a little bit, because you'd love to hear my guest today. Yes, today we paid a visit to our landlord. Yeah, you're wondering who? Well, Dr. Kelvin Nee Taki. Yeah, probably wondering who he is. He's a very prosperous entrepreneur. Had a very wonderful business life. And you're probably puzzled still who he is. Well, he's our landlord. Look, for many years, Accra had been without a king. But in 2020, the Jasiche swore in Dr. Kelvin Nee Taki Abia as the Ga Manche, the king of the Ga traditional area. So far, his oversight over the kingdom has been amazing. It can be best described as transformative. He's been a symbol of unity. And just like he illustrated in his speech at his induction, a broomstick can easily be broken and it cannot sweep. But if you have a bunch of them together, it's hard to break them and they sweep better. Today, we get to learn about his journey to being the king of the land that we call home. King Taki Teku Churu II, the Ga Manche, is my guest on Personality Profile. Ni Manche. Thank you so much for having us in one of your beautiful palaces. How are you?
Yo, Juba. But then I'm going to say, okay, we're going to say, we're going to say, we're going to say,
we're going to say,
we're going to say, we're
going to say,
we're going to say, we're going to say,
we're
going to say, we're going to say, we're going to say,
we're
Aye.
Guys, I should have taken my gun lesson seriously. what was that? What did you say?
She bought your girl call me. Kake call me a boy.
Me ye call me.
O small call me.
Me small call me.
The fair be ni obaye call me as I know kayak she obaye we gang you mo come. Ba kase come.
Okay.
Kefita no no le he gagwene echen kra obanyo we gagwene.
Okay.
Gagwene wa si if you anke si to me ke remo.
Now see Miracle laughing at me. Yeah.